Welcome, all you sinners and sodomites, to episode 72 of Bible Stories for Atheists. I am Josh.
I'm Linz.
And we are your guides to the reverently revisionary stories, literally littering the Bible. And in this episode, we're covering 1 Kings 12, one chapter.
That was just one chapter.
But then we end up going back to Exodus for a little bit. Yes. In there too.
The dynasty continues.
The dynasty continues with Rehoboam. Versus Jeroboam.
The battle of the Boams.
It's a Boam off.
Yes. Yeah. As we previously stated.
Yeah. Let's see which one Boams the best. Gotta choose the lesser of two Boams.
Yeah. I imagine that Boam must mean, based on the definitions I just looked up,
right,
Boam, actually, the word itself means people.
I think so, yeah.
So, battle of the people.
The people. So, yeah, we get a little bit more of the split up of the country, mm-hmm, is what it is, mm-hmm, really.
Yeah, the explanation for why.
Yeah, why does the northern kingdom of Israel split from the southern kingdom of Judah? Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little exciting. There's talk of scorpions and small dicks.
And small dicks. Who doesn't love a small dick?
Who doesn't love a conversation about small dicks?
Right.
And scorpions,
yeah. Scorpion dicks. So strap in and strap on for episode 72, Adventures in Kingdom Splitting. That's the sound of Jesus resurrecting.
Hello? I'm not dead.
Not dead yet. So happy.
Happy highest of holy days.
Yes. Happy Trans Visibility Day.
Yes.
When we're recording, not when it's airing, but
every day should be a day of trans visibility, Josh.
Yes. All the good, loving Christians out there are just losing their shit over the fact that that's landing on
Easter.
On the day.
Oh, sorry. Let me just get this out.
That's right. Cast out that demon. On the day that nobody rose from the dead.
Yeah.
So.
On an arbitrary day that changes. Like.
Yeah. Based on like when the first full moon is or whatever. Like, yeah.
Listen, if Jesus came back to life, there's a specific day that happened on.
Right.
Like you're celebrating it on just a random day.
Yeah.
Not on the actual day that he rose from the dead.
Also, you have to take it on faith that Jesus existed and rose from the dead.
Yes.
No other person has actually risen from the dead that we've ever known about, but you're taking it on faith that he did. And yet, you know for a fact that people who are trans do exist.
Yes.
They don't require any faith.
No.
So maybe you should care more about the people who actually know exist.
Yeah, but listen, the people you're sending that message to do not listen to this podcast.
No, I mean, maybe they do. I don't know. Maybe. I imagine we get sent to people.
Oh, yeah.
Is what I don't know.
You should listen to this bullshit.
Yeah. Honestly, like
these assholes.
Honestly, if there are any listeners out there who have sent us as if you just put us in the mail.
I hope you did it first class.
Yeah. If anybody sent a podcast episode to somebody who is a believer, I would love to know that. you know?
Yeah, like, and what which the reaction was.
What episode? Yeah. Yeah. So if anybody's got any insights on that, that would be interesting to know.
Yeah, because the only feedback, negative feedback we've actually gotten is that I'm annoying.
Yeah.
And I talk over Josh. Right. And
you're the only one that remembers this because I always
of course
forget that we got that feedback. It was a direct feedback.
Insult on me.
Yeah.
Of course I
get
that.
It. Yeah, but they're wrong.
It's just fine. Yeah. No, they're not wrong. It was true. It was a true thing because it was from early in our podcast when you were doing the readings like live.
Yeah.
And I would stop you all the time. Right. Like we were told by people who are friends of ours that that was annoying.
Oh, I vaguely remember that. Yeah.
And that's fine. I don't, whatever. You should hear Josh try to get through a sentence just on a normal day around me. It just, it's hard.
Yeah, you get the edited Josh.
Yeah. And that we got too political.
Oh, yeah.
At points, which is going to keep happening.
Also that we can't discern the Bible.
Oh.
That was on the first episode.
Oh, that's right. But it would be interesting to hear, like, what people who are, like, full-blown believers that aren't cool and listen to the podcast because they're cool, what they think about it. And, you know, even if they're more open-minded, we're not everyone's cup of tea.
No.
We had a whole like minute long conversation in the last podcast having to do with He-Man and Mahole.
Mahole.
Yeah.
Mahole.
Yeah. I mean, you're just redoing it.
Yep. I was listening to that earlier today, and it cracked me up then too.
We're not mature.
No. That's what I'm saying. And I will say this. Neither is Mahole.
Your hole's not.
No.
Your hole's not mature.
No. On Easter,
right? The only holes we should be talking about, Josh, are the ones Jesus climbed out of.
I thought you were going to say Jesus's holes, like the nail holes.
Yeah. In my head, there was like two paths.
We should talk about Jesus holes.
You know the poem where your two trails diverge in a wood?
Yeah. And one set of footprints disappeared. Yeah.
I think you're conflating two things there. But
we were only allowed to have one inspirational poem growing up.
Footprints.
It was the footprints one.
Yeah. In my brain, I was like, do I talk about Jesus's wrist holes or the hole that he was put in when they killed him? So many holes to choose from.
Previously on BSFA, Solomon built the temple. And then built himself a house. Took like 13 years. Mm-hmm. A guy named Jeroboam gets told by a prophet that God is going to give him 10 out of 12 tribes of Israel. And when Solomon heard about it, he ran him off to Egypt. But then Solomon died. And now we're going into his kid's reign.
Okay.
Rehoboam.
What does Boam mean again?
I failed to look this up, but if I remember correctly, it's actually in the Who Wrote the Bible over there by Richard Elliot Friedman. He talked about it. It was something like along the lines of salvation for your people or something like that. It was, you know, some sort of like grand saving your people type of name.
Gotcha.
Both of them basically meant the same thing. So one of them was named first, and then, you know, somebody probably stole that name or ripped it off, or, you know, for whatever reason. We're kicking this off in 1 Kings chapter 12, and Rehoboam becomes king. All of the assembly of Israel comes to him to say, your father made our yoke heavy. Now, therefore, lighten the hard service of your father and his heavy yoke that was placed on us, and we will serve you. So they said to him, your father made our yoke heavy. Give us less yoke.
Yeah.
Basically, right? So we've said this before, but it does seem like Solomon's wisdom, quote unquote, was just to enslave people right? So he had a shitload of slaves, the aliens, but also the people themselves had to work for him. There was a certain amount of labor that they would have to give every year to the state. So folks just were upset about this and wanted relief from it from Rehoboam, right?
Makes sense.
So Rehoboam tells them to go away for 3 days, and he consults with his counselors. First, he goes to the guys that his dad listened to, like his dad's counselors, and they tell him that, yeah, you should lighten up on people, and if you do, they're going to serve you, right? Like, kind of anti-Machiavellian, you know, take it easy on them, and they'll love you for it, right? And then he talks to some young guys, folks that he grew, these guys that like he grew up with and are now working for him. And
I mean, you know how that goes when you get your dad's job, right? When he makes you the CEO of a company, all of a sudden all your friends.
We all know how this goes.
Yeah. We all do. Yeah. We all saw television shows about this.
Right. Suits. I don't know. I never watched that.
Succession you know, any of those shows about rich people where the kids are.
Richie Rich. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, his friends lived at his house with him. I don't think he had parents, but.
Right.
Famously, he was an orphan.
Right. He was? No. I don't think he was an orphan.
He didn't have parents, didn't he?
He had parents.
Wasn't it like a Batman situation? Isn't Richie Rich just the origin story for Batman?
It's just young Batman.
Yeah.
It's basically Gotham.
Yeah. He had a Jeeves, right? Didn't he? It's famous.
He did have a butler, but no, his parents were alive in the movie.
Oh.
In the Macaulay Culkin movie.
Right. That's
the only reference I have for it. But you might lore. For the lore of Richie Rich.
His parents just never seemed like they were around.
I mean, in all kids programming, it kind of feels like the parents just aren't around.
That's true.
Otherwise, the kids would never get into anything fun.
Right.
So he talks to these young guys, and they tell him, thus you should say to them, my little finger is thicker than my father's loins. Now, whereas my father laid on you a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions. So I had in
this
my mind.
This is what the young people told him to say.
Yeah. I just imagined, like, you know, you're working at a factory and the boss has just died, right? And his fuck up kid comes in over the loudspeaker and goes, just so you all know, my dad had a small dick. Now get back to work. You know, like that's kind of what it feels like he's saying.
My little finger is thicker
than my father's loins. Yeah. The NIV, interestingly, translates that to waist.
Oh.
My father's waist.
Loins was too sassy for them.
Yeah, I think so.
Your little finger is thicker than your father's waist. Okay. All right. But yeah, you're basically right. He is saying his dad had a tiny little
loin.
Baby dick.
Yeah. Let me start off by telling you that my dad's dick was small.
Small. Yeah.
And now I'll address your question.
You think that's where George R.R. Martin got his
little finger?
His name for little finger. Yeah.
Maybe.
Big dick, bigger dick. Oh, no, sorry. He's not saying he has a big dick.
No.
He's saying that his father has a little dick.
Yeah. My dick is small, too, but my finger, my little finger is very big.
And also.
He has a dick finger.
It's appealing. but this is what the young guys are telling him to say, right? This isn't what he said.
Oh, that's what it's absolutely what he's going to say.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
he's going with their
advice. Going with the little finger, small dick.
Yeah.
Whips versus scorpions.
Right.
So, like, not only does my dad have a small dick, which is why he was nice to you.
Yeah.
I'm going to come at you.
Solomon with 1,000 wives.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, maybe he's compensating for something.
Right, yeah.
Not only that, but also, like, these whips. If you don't do what I say, I'm going to scorpion you to death.
Yeah. I don't know. Are they throwing the scorpions?
Do they have like a box?
Do they have a whip of scorpions?
Like a box that they put on their heads?
Right.
And dump scorpions into?
Maybe.
That feels like something that could happen back then.
Right.
Yeah. The scorpion box.
I feel like that could happen today.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, they made a whole show about it called Fear Factor.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Self-inflicted torture.
Right. Yeah. All that, and you had to hang out with Joe Rogan.
Right. Everyone hopefully got at least $1,000 for that.
Right. So on the third day, Jeroboam comes with everyone else to talk to Rehoboam. So Jeroboam has come back from Egypt, apparently,
right,
to talk to Rehoboam about this. And he says that all the shit that his friends told him to say. And then it also says, so the king did not listen to the people because it was a turn of affairs brought about by the Lord to fulfill his word that the Lord had spoken by Ahijah, Shonanite, the prophet, who
the one that ripped his clothes,
ripped his clothes asunder. Yes. To Jeroboam, blah, blah, blah. So yeah, it was basically that there's no free will involved here whatsoever. This is all God's doing.
Oh, right.
God has decided that this is what's going to happen.
Rehoboam is making these poor decisions because God is making him make these.
God can't be a liar.
Right.
He already told Jeroboam that he's getting 10 out of the 12 tribes.
And this is how he's going to do it, by making everyone pissed off at
Rehoboam. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's another example
of God's inciting a civil war.
Yeah. It's another example of God hardening Pharaoh's heart.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So anybody who ever thinks that God gives you free will according to the Bible, no, God does not.
No.
Nowhere in the Bible does it say God gave us free will. You know, he often will take it away from us according to the Bible. And obviously God doesn't exist.
In the whole premise of this podcast.
Right. There's this poetic bit about Israel going to their tents while Judah goes to their house, basically saying that the country splits.
Okay.
So, yeah. And literally, they just had some poetry about it. When
rhyme?
Not really.
Ugh.
Probably, maybe in Hebrew, but maybe not.
Right. Yeah.
When King, they didn't write it in English, just so you know.
Thanks.
If you were thinking they did. Wouldn't it be cool, though, if, like, when they translate it, oh, it rhymes.
Right.
God really did want this in English, didn't he?
Before the language was even created.
I would be a diabolical religious leader because I would translate a Bible and specifically have the poetry end up rhyming and just be like, oh, see, this is how you know this is the version God wants you to,
right?
You know, the one that says that you have to give me all your money.
Yeah,
but
he didn't write it in the language of the people he loves most.
Right. No,
he wrote it in the people who think that God loves them most.
Right now, at this particular moment.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And then it says, when King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was taskmaster over the forced labor, all Israel stoned him to death. King Rehoboam then hurriedly mounted his chariot to flee to Jerusalem. So Israel has been in rebellion against the house of David to this day. So they killed the forced labor manager.
Mm-hmm. The taskmaster.
The taskmaster.
Yeah. Do you think that they were making
it was Greg Davies?
Right. Making him do things like find all the grapes in the room and
right. In the temple.
Yeah. Whoever does it fastest.
Right.
Gets 5 points.
You have to get like all the eggs out of this pair of trousers in the fastest amount of time or without breaking any.
Whoever can plow this field without breaking this egg.
Right.
You're the winner.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
What the fuck is the Star of David? Why has this never come up?
Oh, I don't know if it does come up in the Bible, actually. It might be from literature outside the Bible.
I assume that's the same David.
It is, but I remember looking it up at one point. Let's just look it up.
I just keep expecting to get to that point.
No, I don't.
And it sounds like we're kind of done with his family at this point.
Not quite yet, but we're not far from it.
Okay.
They're definitely winding down.
Yeah. Well, when you said that, like, oh, they killed the Taskmaster and then Rehoboam fled, and that there's been turmoil against the family to this day.
Yeah.
That tells me that their dynasty is almost over.
Yeah. According to Wikipedia, the Star of David is generally recognized symbol of both Jewish identity and Judaism. A derivation of the seal of Solomon was used for the decorative and mystical purposes by Muslims and Kabbalistic Jews. Its association with the distinctive symbol for the Jewish people and their religion dates to 17th century Prague. In the 19th century, the symbol began to be widely used by the Jewish communities of Eastern Europe. It appears to be a decorative motif in the 4th century synagogues and Christian churches in the Galilee region. Nobody knows.
Okay.
It seems to have slowly emerged.
Gotcha. And they just decided at some point in time to call it the Star of David.
I guess so.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Fair enough.
Yeah, mystery but it's unsolved. But it's not going to be in the Bible. Okay. We're never getting to that.
Okay. Good to know, because I kept expecting it to come up at some point.
Nope. Yeah. No.
Glad to know that I don't have to have any expectations at all anymore for the Bible.
Nope. That's the last of it.
That was the last one.
Yep. It was the star that broke the camel's back. So Jeroboam becomes the king of Israel, the northern kingdom of Israel, right? And it says, there was no one who followed the house of David except the tribe of Judah alone.
Mm.
Yeah. So sounds like Benjamin would have gone the way of Israel too, but that's not actually true. We'll find out in just a little bit that it was also the tribe of Benjamin, because that's like within the tribe of Judah. It's really weird because it keeps saying only this one tribe did, but it also says that this other one did too. Right. So
because the tribe of Benjamin is a neighborhood within Judah.
Basically, yeah. Right. ChatGPT says, historically and geographically, the tribe of Benjamin was closely associated with the tribe of Judah. The two tribes shared a border and their territories were interlinked, with Jerusalem itself on the border between Judah and Benjamin. After the division of the kingdom, the tribe of Benjamin remained largely aligned with Judah, forming the core of the southern kingdom, known as the Kingdom of Judah under Rehoboam. So while the text of 1 Kings 12 emphasizes Judah's loyalty to the house of David, in practice, Benjamin was also part of the southern kingdom, although it was less prominent than Judah in the biblical narrative and later historical accounts. So Benjamin's in there too. And the Bible's lying. There we go. And then when Rehoboam gets back to Jerusalem, he starts assembling troops. But then God speaks to some dude and tells him to tell the king not to fight the Israelites. It says, let everyone go home, for this thing is from me. Right?
Just some random guy.
Just some dude.
Wow.
Yeah.
How special did he feel?
I want to say it said he was a prophet. Okay. But, you know.
Yeah.
So probably had a.
You think God's just done talking to these people directly? It seems like it.
Like, might as well just make everybody a prophet. Right. You know, like.
Yeah. He's like, me talking to them directly seems to do no good.
No.
They all end up doing what I tell them
it's
not to
do. It's much better if I just tell some random person and then they just say, hey, right. God told me.
Right.
Because that seems to work even better for some reason.
For some reason, even though it opens up the door to be like, well, this person's crazy.
Yeah.
But they just didn't think that back then, I guess.
Right. Jeroboam starts talking to himself, saying that the kingdom of Israel might end up reverting back to the house of David if people keep going to Jerusalem to make sacrifices. So he decides to have a couple of golden calves built, right? Mm-hmm. Like golden calves.
Idols, you know,
Yeah, idols.
Which is no.
Right, you would think, yeah. And he says to his people, you have gone up to Jerusalem long enough. Here are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Which is a very interesting line that he says, because we'll get back to it. And then it goes on to say, he set one in Bethel and the other he put in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one at Bethel and before the other as far as Dan. He also made houses on high places and appointed priests from among all the people who were not Levites.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Why does God keep picking these guys who just don't do what they're told?
Right? I know.
You know what would have fixed this problem?
Another flood?
A lady.
Oh, yeah.
Historically, ladies are very good at doing what they're told.
Not according to the Bible, they're not. All five of the women that are mentioned.
Good for them.
And it goes on to say that he also did his own version of a festival that they also do in the South and stuff. So he's doing his own version of all the stuff that they're doing, right? In 2 Chronicles, it says this, the priests and the Levites who were all in Israel presented themselves to him from all the territories. The Levites had left their pasture lands and possessions and had come to Judah and Jerusalem because Jeroboam and his sons had prevented them from serving as priests of the Lord and had appointed his own priests for the high places and for the goat demons and for the calves that he had made.
Wow.
Goat demons.
Yeah.
Those who had set their hearts to seek the Lord God of Israel came after them from all the tribes of Israel to Jerusalem to sacrifice to the Lord, the God of their ancestors. They strengthened the kingdom of Judah, and for 3 years they made Rehoboam, son of Solomon, secure, for they walked for 3 years in the way of David and Solomon. Keep in mind, Chronicles was written about 700 years after these events allegedly took place. So this was already ancient history to the chronicler, you know, but that's the perspective of their writings, right? So where have we seen a story about golden calves in the Bible before?
Isn't that from Moses's time?
Moses's time. Yeah.
Didn't Aaron do that?
Yeah. You read this and you might think, why would Jeroboam make these golden calves when he knows that that's wrong based on the story from Moses and Aaron, right? Mm-hmm. Well, if we go back and look at Exodus 32, 1 through 6, this is what it says. When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, come, make us gods who will go out before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. Aaron answered them, take off the gold earrings that your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing and bring them to me. So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they handed him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they said, these are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord. So the next day, the people rose early and sacrificed burnt offerings and presented fellowship offerings. Afterward, they sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. There's some interesting little, there's some interesting things that are parallel here. The story in Exodus really comes out of left field when it comes to like Aaron. Like Aaron, this isn't Aaron's typical behavior.
Isn't he the guy that like, he's
Moses' brother.
Yeah. But isn't he like the guy that all like the priests, like, isn't that where lineage comes from?
Yeah. So a common thing is that like priests in the temple of Jerusalem were supposed to be descendants of Aaron.
Right.
Yeah. And the head priests are, and then like the lower level priests would be descended from Moses, and then lower still would be the ones descended from neither Moses nor Aaron. And, you know, that's a hierarchy that came later and then started getting inserted into these earlier texts. And that's what this kind of is this is a time where they're saying what Jeroboam did in the north,
was
wrong, because you're only supposed to sacrifice at the temple in Jerusalem, right?
Right.
They're the ones who won, so they get to go back and say, this was always what it was.
Right.
Like, you can't, and golden calves are horrible, you know?
Yeah.
And all that kind of stuff. Yes. That's evil stuff. But Jeroboam wouldn't have known that, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
History is written by the victors.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, the entire point of this story was to protest what Jeroboam's policies were when it came to that kind of stuff.
Gotcha.
And it was probably written by the descendants of Aaron and stuff.
Yeah.
Or not, actually, that's actually not true, because they're making fun of the descendants of Aaron. These were probably done, I don't fucking know. I don't fucking care. I don't. Fuck these people.
I think the chronicler clearly is like pro David's family.
Oh yeah. I would say both writers, Kings and Chronicles, they're both pro David.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Kings is probably written by somebody hired by David's family.
Yeah.
Whereas the chronicler, with being so far after the fact, for some reason,
they just stayed in favor.
And with hindsight, of course, you can add anything you want to add that makes it more positive towards their storyline.
Yeah.
You think this person got paid to do this? Or do you think is this just literally like Bible fan fiction?
Who was
the chronicler?
Oh, the chronicler.
Do you think this is just fan fiction about David's family that somebody wrote, and then somebody else was like, oh, this is good?
I mean, they probably needed like, a sacred text to do services from or something like that. And so therefore they had to write it. But then that got them like being able to have their own synagogue or something. I don't know. I don't know what they were doing to need that writing.
Yeah. I like to think that this is like the 50 Shades of Grey to the regular Bible's Twilight.
Chronicles is?
Yeah, is the 50 Shades of Grey.
Which is funny because it's actually, what's funny is it's way more tame than what the King's version is. Like none of the Bathsheba stuff and stuff. Yeah.
So 50 Shades of Grey famously is a fan fiction written about Twilight.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. I don't understand how it is.
I don't get it either. That's what the writer said. And again, this is what the chronicler is to me. It's just a famous fanfic writer.
Yeah. Porno writer.
I mean, if we found the original chronicler text, do you think that there was like definitely parts of it where he was like really leaning into some sexy stuff?
No.
No?
Probably not. No.
I'd like to think so.
So an interesting thing that comes in after the story of the golden calf with Aaron is what Moses's response to that is. Then he said to them, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Each man strap a sword to his side, go back and forth through the camp from one end to the other, each killing his brother and friend and neighbor. The Levites did as Moses commanded, and that day about 3,000 of the people died. Then Moses said, "You have been set apart to the Lord today, for you were against your own sons and brothers, and he has blessed you this day." So that's how the Levites start by being separate.
They killed everybody.
Yeah, because they killed everybody for Moses in this moment, you know, as retribution for it.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
And so, how fucked up that is.
Right. It's a really fucked up thing. But this is the point of the story, is to establish these things, right? That like golden calves are bad, and that Levites are the only people who are allowed to be priests. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what they're kind of getting at with this story in Exodus, right?
So it sets it up for this shit later.
Yeah. And of course, you know, you talk to a Christian pastor about that, and they're going to be like, "Oh, isn't it interesting how God predicted all this stuff that, like, and built in all this poetry for back, you know, hundreds of years before this happened and everything?" It's like, yeah, well, they actually just went back and changed this stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Isn't it interesting how God could see the future and make instructions based on that? It's such a miracle.
It really does go from you go from feeling like you're seeing a magic trick to knowing how the magic trick is done. Yeah. And it's like, it's so simple.
Oh,
stupid.
He pulled it out of his butthole.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. Incidentally, Second Chronicles also lists marriages of Rehoboam, and it sounds like he only married relatives, pretty much.
Wow.
Married the granddaughter of David's, so that's his grandfather, right? Yeah,
David grandfather. Would be his grandfather. Yeah,
so one of the granddaughters of David married a granddaughter of Jesse, who was David's dad.
Okay.
And so, like, an aunt.
Right.
Kind of. And then also there is the daughter of Absalom that he ended up marrying too. So it says he took 18 wives and 60 concubines and became the father of 28 sons and 60 daughters.
Wow.
Yeah. Not nearly as much as his dad.
No, he
had much less land.
Yeah. Yeah. He did have a significantly more concubines than wives.
Yeah. 60 to 18.
Yeah.
And then it also says Rehoboam appointed Abijah, son of Maacah, as chief prince among his brothers, for he intended to make him king. So this is his own son. He dealt wisely and distributed some of his sons through all of the districts of Judah and Benjamin in all the fortified cities. He gave them abundant provisions and found many wives for them. So he sets up his sons, all that nepotism and everything.
Yeah, of course.
Spreads out across the land. He's firming it all up.
As you do.
Yeah.
That's how you keep your dynasty strong. Mm-hmm. The British family in England do it to this day.
To this day. Yeah. And that works out great for them and the British people. Hey, Brits.
All our Brit listeners. So even though God straight up was like, this family just isn't doing it for me anymore. Not really.
Right. Yeah.
Everybody still is very much writing these stories in like a pro David's lineage bent.
Kind of, yeah.
Which at this point doesn't make any sense to me.
It does when it comes to who wins in the end, who survives. And really, it's not even who wins. It's who survives longest. Because so right now we have the split of the kingdom. Mm-hmm. Spoiler alert. we will soon have the fall of the Northern Kingdom.
Okay.
And everybody's going to, like, you know, we'll get into what happens with all that. But and we've talked about it before, but then, you know, a whole bunch of people are going to move down into that Southern Kingdom. And then the Southern Kingdom is going to really compiled together the first version of the Bible
gotcha.
And the Torah and stuff like that in that Southern Kingdom. After the fall. And that's when you start getting those revisions mm-hmm. to stuff and all that stuff. So they end up surviving the longest. Eventually the Southern Kingdom falls too, right?
Right.
And then you go have the great exile that happens. And then you get more revisions because of all of that, you know,
right.
But the Southern Kingdom is where Jerusalem was, you know, it was again, Judah. So they all cared a lot about David. So everybody really gave a shit about that. But then as that goes on, it all gets cemented because, you know, more and more time goes by. That's what everybody knew. It's mm-hmm. what you grew up with. So you can't just change any of it, you know, right. But yeah.
Yeah. It's just weird to me that they would even then like leave in that sort of stuff to the story. Like they must have had to because it happened, right?
Are you talking about stuff with David, like with Bathsheba and all that?
Just all of the stuff that was like God being pissed at them various reasons and things like that.
Well, that's useful when it comes to... Yeah, that's why God has screwed us over here. That's why we, you know,
right.
we have gotten so that, exiled and stuff is because yeah, right. we pissed off yes. God, right? And that's the thing that changes culturally around the time Jesus comes around when you start getting people saying, oh, we're not, they're not saying we're getting persecuted because we pissed off God. They start saying we're getting persecuted because we believe in the God. True God.
And, yeah.
and that's when that changes. But before that, the culture was
God is punishing us.
God is punishing us.
These bad things happen to us because the person he chose is yeah. not working out for him.
Right.
He is really bad at hiring. He has a terrible God? Hiring process.
God
yeah.
does.
Yeah. yeah just, it turns out just pointing at somebody and being like, you're it. Just it does not work out.
Right. Right. I mean, it didn't even really work out for Jesus.
No.
Not for Jesus.
No. And God created that one.
Yeah. So, yeah, coming up, we're going to be getting into the collapse of the Northern Kingdom.
Oh, man.
And all that.
How close are we to the end of the Old Testament? Or is this just a bunch of arbitrary books that then
come? Really an end to the Old Testament. It just kind of starts going back to the beginning again. I don't know.
But there is, though, right? What is the last book of the Old Testament?
I off the top of my head, I don't know. It's probably one of the prophets. Okay. Probably like a small. I can't remember, but
what's
it's probably
the first
a little
book
small.
Of the New Testament?
That would be Matthew.
Okay.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the first four. Even though Mark was written first.
Is Revelation in the New Testament or the
yes,
Old Testament?
It's the New Testament.
Okay.
Although there are, you know, it was influenced largely by Old Testament books. So there are Old Testament books that technically deal with the end times in a similar way to Revelation.
Gotcha. Okay.
So, but yeah, as far as the histories go, we kind of, if I remember correctly, the histories, I think, wrap up with like shortly after like we talked about this before when Ezra comes back to Jerusalem after Israel was given as a gift back to the Israelites by
Persian guy.
Yeah, the Persian Emperor Cyrus.
Mm-hmm.
He gave Israel back to the Jewish people. Ezra comes in and is in charge of rebuilding the temple, which in theory existed before, but we don't know for a fact mm-hmm, if it mm-hmm. actually existed. They may have just made up all the shit that was in there just to get money out of it. Cause they were also, Persia was also giving them all the gold and stuff that they said they needed.
Yeah. They gave them
that
like
had been taken by the
account of
Assyrians. Yeah. So the whole story of Ezra is like, all right, we need to reestablish like what Jewish law was. This was like where he was saying, if you have married a foreigner and you have foreigner children, you know, you should leave your families and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. That's what Ezra was saying. That's around the time I think the histories end, as far as I'm aware, but I might be wrong about that.
And then we get into all like the Psalms and
Yeah, I mean, that stuff is in there. That Psalms. Technically, Psalms would have been written in theory while David was alive, because mm-hmm. so many of them, they think David wrote them. But, I'm not planning on getting into those.
No?
Yeah. No, that's talk about fucking boring.
I thought there's a lot of shit that people pull out of Psalms, though.
Little things, but most of it is just, you know, God is good and love God. And like, you know, it's like, there's not interesting stuff to it.
Okay.
Really?
All right. Yeah. It seems to be the most quoted part of the Bible.
It's one of them. I mean, yeah. I would say probably the Gospels are quoted probably more.
Sure.
But it is interesting. Like, I remember when I was a kid, you know, getting Bibles all the time from different youth groups and stuff like that. One thing you would see quite a bit is the New Testament plus Psalms and Proverbs versions of the Bible, where it's like, you know, because kids don't feel like reading the Old Testament.
Right.
You don't really need it except for Psalms and Proverbs. That's the only Old Testament stuff you really need.
Are we going to go through Proverbs?
No.
No.
Because again, not very.
Are you going to touch on them and like cherry pick? You just don't want to read through.
I think I've looked through it before to try and figure out, like, is this something we want to cover? And I was like, I don't see it. Right. I don't see how we would go about doing it.
So our listeners' job is to let us know if there are certain parts of those two books they want to hear about.
I guess
we can go for them. I don't care.
Yeah.
Because it's not like I'm going to remember it anyway.
No.
And it's all in my mind bullshit. But people use that shit all the time as verbal weapons.
Yeah.
As to why they're right and like we're wrong.
Yeah. I don't know how much of that is coming from Psalms.
Proverbs.
Or Proverbs.
Really?
Yeah. That's not. I feel like there's not a lot of
all
like,
the time at the, you know, when you see the little quotes on the billboards and they get
yeah,
the little.
But those are like the inspirational things. Like that's what Psalms and Proverbs are. Yeah. Those are like more inspirational things, not like dogmatic things where like, oh, you have to be this person and stuff. It's not really the vibe.
Yeah. Did you get into those books when you were young?
Psalms and Proverbs?
Yeah.
I didn't enjoy reading them.
No.
No, they're boring as shit.
Are they?
Yeah.
What book of the Bible did you actually enjoy reading when you were younger?
I mean, none of them.
None
really.
Of them?
No. I mean, if anything, it probably would have been Revelation because it was interesting.
Right.
You know, and it was like you.
Metal.
Well, not only that, but like I thought it was real. So,
right.
You know, you're kind of like.
You got to know.
Yeah. You're trying to decode the future.
Right.
And so that you can survive the rapture, because that doesn't make sense, you know?
What a fucking heavy thing to put on children.
Yeah. It's fucking insane. Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely the most.
Christianity's answer to heavy metal is the Book of Revelation.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a big inspiration for metal. Yeah. It's a big inspiration for metal.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. There is a lot of biblical references in heavy metal music.
Yeah.
As I just made one.
Yeah. An
entire band.
Right.
With a gay singer.
Is he gay?
Lemmy?
I never. Was he?
Yeah.
Lemmy.
Yeah. Yeah. Go back and look at how he dressed back in the day. It was definitely
I never got into Judas Priest.
You know, was it Bosco? That photographer, the artist that drew like the men in like the bondage gear.
That
really famous artist.
Yeah.
That's how Lemmy dressed.
Oh,
all the time.
Okay. Yeah.
And like then
the biker.
Yeah. And then when it came out that he was gay, like a good amount of people were like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Like when Elton John came out.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Liberace.
When Liberace came out as gay and everyone was like, what? When Ricky Martin came out as gay and everybody was like,
my word.
What? No way.
Right. They all live miserably ever after. Yeah. Thank you so much for checking out our podcast. Help us grow the audience by sharing us with your friends or giving us a share on social media. And we love hearing from you. You can reach out on our website at bsfa.cc.
Yeah, you really didn't feel like putting any extra effort into this episode, did you?
Trying to limit how much time I have to spend on it.
That's fair. I'm so trained to your readings now that I'm just like, when am I supposed to listen to what he's saying? There's no music.
It's when I'm talking is when you're supposed to be listening to what I'm saying.
I know that the parts are important if there's music behind them, though. I've been trained.